Even the arrival of the Galatians, the mercenaries from Central Europe.
There were three major tribes moved over. They, too, at first, they were, you know, a terror. They were tall by Greek standards. They stood probably 5'6", 5'7", which was enormous in the Mediterranean world. They tended to put on war paint. We're told they tinted themselves blue. They are usually depicted as fighting naked, swinging these huge swords. You know, the Greeks' worst nightmare of a barbarian. But even the Galatians, after their first generation of terrorizing the countryside, settled down and were incorporated into the Hellenistic military and political system of Asia Minor. They acquired a taste for Hellenic goods. They, at Gordian, we see that they bought the types of ceramics and products that other people would want in Hellenistic Asia Minor. And in some ways, they simply hired themselves out as mercenaries to the great kings, the Seleucids, to the Antigonids of Macedon, and brought wealth into the city of Gordian. Asia Minor fragmented even further as a result of the arrival of the Celts. The Seleucids, who were based in Antioch in Syria and Babylon in Mesopotamia, never could quite gain control over the peninsula or on the shores. The Ptolemies of Egypt, with their navy, always exercised a control on the shores of Asia Minor and in the Greek islands, and many of the cities retained a precarious independence. The Antigonids of Macedon were constantly trying to get back into Asia Minor. The Seleucids based their power at Sardis, and what happened is they saw their possessions in Asia Minor break up. In some instances, cities negotiated autonomy. In several instances, powerful dynasts broke away and set up independent kingdoms. Sometimes these were in opposition to the Seleucids. In other cases, they were allied. The most important was a kingdom called Pergamon. A eunuch general carved out a kingdom there, passed on power to his nephew Attalus. We call this the Attalid kingdom after Attalus. And these rulers at Pergamon managed to center their power in northwest Asia Minor, in a strategic part of Asia Minor, and they were rivals of the Seleucids for control of Asia Minor. Other kingdoms in central and eastern Turkey broke away from Seleucid power. The kingdoms of Cappadocia and Pontus and Bithynia, which become very important in the Roman period and are later Roman provinces. Armenia, that is Transcaucasia, that eastern extension of Anatolia, they too achieve a certain independence. But whether you're dealing with dynasts or cities in Asia Minor, they all took on the trappings of Greek states. The kings of Pergamon actually tried to pass themselves off as Greeks par excellence. They sponsored Greek arts. The citadel of Pergamon, as we shall see, will become one of the show places of Greek sculpture and architecture in the Hellenistic age. And it is an extremely important sculptural school because it's the one of the first cities the Romans have contact with in the Greek world and really see on a massive scale. And the arts of Pergamon will influence very profoundly the art of Imperial Rome. The kings of Cappadocia and the kings of Pontus in eastern Asia Minor probably trace their descent from Iranian nobles from the old Persian period. They, too, try to invent themselves as Greek-style kings or Philhellenic kings. And the kings of Pontus in particular will emerge as the last defenders of Hellenic freedom, so to speak, against the Romans at the end of the first century B.C. So while there is no political legacy to Alexander, it breaks up. The empire breaks up into its four constituent parts, and then the Asian possessions, especially in Asia Minor, break up even further. They fragment into cities, competing kingdoms, provinces of the Seleucid Empire. Nonetheless, Hellenic aesthetics, Hellenic civic institutions, Hellenic culture increases. There is a considerable amount of prosperity in commerce despite the wars that are being described, because the wars are largely limited wars among competing dynastic kings. Some historians have gone so far as to draw comparisons of this period, this Hellenistic period, with the 18th century in Europe, where the great monarchies fought largely in the Rhineland, Louis XIV against his rivals, and that everything was more or less in order. You're dealing with professional armies. If you get killed, it's your own fault. And then this is all fouled up when the French Revolution and Napoleon come along, and the analogy being that when the Romans come in, they make war violently and they change the rules. And there's a good deal of truth to that analogy. So you have to think of Asia Minor as under dynast, Macedonian or native Anatolian, trying to pass themselves off as Philhellenes or Hellenes, and then a series of cities, both Greek and native, which are adopting Greek municipal-style institutions.